With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined on this Friday morning in Week 11 by Pat Fitzmorris and by Derek Brown. Fellas, we are here. It is Week 11. We were really excited for Thursday Night Football last night. We don't always hit on Thursday night games on this show, but there was so much that happened in this game that we have to do it. Everybody was finally excited to have two good teams, divisional matchup. I was really excited, obviously, as a Ravens fan. They did get the win, but at what cost? My oh my, this was a crazy game. There was a phantom holding call that cost Zay Flowers a 68-yard touchdown that just crushed the hearts of fantasy managers and bettors everywhere. A lot of guys got banged up, though, and we have to talk about some of these injuries. Debra, I want to start with you on Joe Burrow. We had seen, or some people had seen, this clip of him with his wrist in some kind of a cast coming off the plane before the game. I had not seen that, actually. So there's questions about NFL reporting injuries, you know, or the Bengals reporting injuries to the NFL, all that stuff. But the main takeaway is we might be without Burrow for a while. What does that do to this offense? What was your takeaway here?
Oh, man. I mean, you saw what the Jake Browning show looked like. It's not pretty, guys. I mean, everybody's going to get downgraded. Joe Mixon falls down to a volume-dependent mid to low end RB2. Jamar Chase turns into hopefully the best version of DeAndre Hopkins when he had no quarterbacks, and everybody else, good luck in this offense. Tyler Boyd goes into wide receiver 4 or 5 territory. It's bad stuff, guys. And our own Dr. Deepak Chona put it out there on Twitter, so go check that out. Or excuse me, X put it out there that with Joe Burrow, I mean, we're looking at a multi-week absence. And if it's a tear, I know he's getting an MRI, then we're looking at possibly 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, that's the heart of the fantasy season. That's everything we got left. Like, so it's bad. I mean, come on, Jamar Chase has now been nuked, guys. He's been vaporized.
If it's 6 weeks, all of a sudden you're dropping Joe Burrow. Like literally, yeah, he's not on your team. Which is nuts to think about, that A, that we're at this point in the season, and B, that the injury could be that significant. I mean, yeah, it's
tough stuff.
It's brutal.
Man.
Fitz, what are you doing with all the other Bengals skill players?
Debro said it pretty well. I mean, Mixon, just because of the volume, is going to remain an RB2. But man, the passing game, basically Jamar Chase is where Garrett Wilson has been all season, where he's going to try to survive on bad quarterbacking. And he's good enough where he can probably be like a mid-range to low-end wide receiver too. But man, it's just so depressing because this was one of the fun passing games that you could be heavily invested in that could support 2 or 3 wide receivers. I mean, I was thinking about picking up Tanner Hudson in a couple of leagues this week, now that he has clearly become the tight end one there. But, if we're going from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning, I'm not too excited about picking up Tanner Hudson anymore.
I mean, maybe the Bengals knock on Joe Flacco's door. You know, it seems to be the thing that all the NFL teams want to do these days.
They're going to be the second Ohio team to do that. He's already in Cleveland right now, doing a workout.
Oh, Flacco being in high demand. What have we come to?
Yeah.
What have we come to?
On the other side, guys, you know, I said this to Fitz before we started recording. Obviously, I was very happy to get the win, a big win as a Ravens fan, but it almost felt like a loss this morning after the Mark Andrews injury. I mean, great first drive, goes down right at the end, ankle injury. Harbaugh said after the game that it's very serious. Their prayers are with Mark, and that it's very likely a season-ending injury. It's not 100%, I guess, but we're assuming it's season-ending. That's a killer to this offense. It's a killer to managers who have struggled at tight end, but you draft Mark Andrews early, so you don't have to play the tight end struggle game. Fitz, I'll start with you this time, but who are some tight end options you should be looking at if you're the Mark Andrews manager, and how much would you say this might even impact Lamar in the passing game?
Well, you teased this by saying it's very likely Mark Andrews is out for the season. It could be a lot of Isaiah likely. Terrible about Andrews, obviously, you know, one of the top tight ends, a big blow to his stakeholders. But those people should be heading right for Isaiah Likely, who is, I think he's rostered in 1 or 2% of Yahoo leagues. So
I'm looking at it right now.
There's going to be heavy demand for him this week, and with good reason. Like, he is kind of a true handcuffed tight end. I don't know. I mean, maybe they work in a little Charlie Kohler, and it's not as pure Isaiah Likely as some people might anticipate. But man, Likely is really athletic. I think he earned himself some cred with the Baltimore coaches by blocking his tail off on that long catch and run that Zay Flowers had early in that game. Like, Isaiah Likely was downfield and he threw like two blocks. I'm surprised like Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels didn't pick up on that, but like Likely just gave a phenomenal effort on that play. So really athletic. We've seen him pop in the past, like last year. I'm anxious to see what he can do, and we know how important tight end is to the Baltimore offense.
Yeah, D-Bro, Fitz mentioned Charlie Kohler. I think Baltimore really likes Charlie Kohler. They were drafted in the same round, him and Isaiah Likely. And Kohler's probably the better blocker, although Fitz did mention Isaiah doing a better job of that. But Likely is the guy, you know, in this offense that is likely to get most of the receiving work at tight end, I would imagine. But what's your takeaway from this injury here? And is there anybody else outside of Baltimore that you would be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, so I pulled it up while Fitz was talking. Isaiah Likely only 3% rostered over on Yahoo. So definitely people would be rushing to pick him up. If you're at a spot where you don't have any fab or things like, and Likely gets picked up before you, two other names I'll throw out there below 50% that people can go to. Luke Musgrave is still out there. Good matchup this week. And we know the ceiling and the talents there. Pat Freiermuth also below 50%. So two other names just to monitor, but I think it's going to be the Likely show. And the other part about this, and I know we're very tight end centric and we should be based off of how Baltimore uses their offense, but we saw Odell Beckham pop off with a big game last night. The other part of this is, what if the big fallout of this is not the targets go to Isaiah Likely, but we see the wide receivers get more of a bump. Zay Flowers gets an extra target or two or three every single week. Odell Beckham gets more in the mix. Rashad Bateman, who is a full-time player, now comes back to life as maybe a flex play every week. So for me, I think the fallout for me is more of, do we see maybe the running backs involved more in the passing game, and do we see the wide receivers get more of a bump?
Zay Flowers in week one, when Mark Andrews was out, had 9 catches on 10 targets. So to your point, they were very happy to go to him when Andrews was not in the game back in week one. Guys, Lamar also got banged up in this game. He was limping a couple of different times on what looked like an ankle injury. Odell Beckham Jr. had a shoulder injury with a late tackle despite his great game. Is there anything on either of these guys that concerns you, or do we think the Ravens have a bye in week 13? So they play in primetime this upcoming week against the Chargers and then a bye. Is there a chance maybe the Ravens kind of try and sit them to get through to that bye, or do you think they're kind of okay?
I mean, Can Todd Monken not call design run plays when his quarterback's already got an ankle issue? Can that not happen? Because, I mean, that feels like that would probably be, what's the word? Smart.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I think that really they're probably going to gut it out and go out there. Maybe they do the wide receiver rotation with these guys if Odell is able to play. But, I mean, we're just hoping they get the least healthy or can stay healthy enough to the bye.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a quick palate cleanser here. We have a poll on Spotify from last week's show. Is Star Wars The Last Jedi a top 5 Star Wars movie? Our producer John sent me the results this morning. The official voting tally is 42% said yes, it is a top 5 Star Wars movie.
Polls rigged.
57% said no. So that is, I expected to get a lot more pushback, honestly. 42% is not bad.
John gave you a layup because he said top 5.
If
he
would have said top,
how many Star Wars movies are there, Worm?
I don't know, like 10 or 11?
That is a layup. If he'd have said top 3, the results of that poll would have been
He said top
different.
5. This is what we got. I feel very much like in Arrested Development.
Yeah, Tobias
is like,
out.
There are dozens of us. Like, I'm not the only
helped
one.
Helped you out. He helped you out.
Fitz, 42%. Mm-mm. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that is higher than I thought it was going to be, Worm. I guess you can victory lap this, even though it's not a majority.
Yes, it's an emotional victory lap for me on that one. Okay, let's jump into the show here. This is our matchup preview show. We'll be running through key questions for every single game remaining on the Week 11 slate. There are 4 teams on bye: Falcons, Colts, Patriots, and the Saints. Matchup previews. Let's start with game one here. It's a doozy in terms of a lopsided game. Cowboys at Panthers. My key question here, somewhat under the radar, although, Debra, I know you were tweeting about this the other day. Dak Prescott has four straight top three finishes at the quarterback position in fantasy. His rest of season schedule is filled with friendly matchups. If you look on Fantasy Pros, where, you know, they highlight it in red if it's a tough matchup and green if it's a friendly one, it's all green the rest of the way. Where should he be ranked at quarterback rest of season, Debra?
I've got him at QB4, nestled right behind Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. And if that's not where he needs to be, somebody needs to tell me why. I mean, he's been a top three QB, like you said, Worm, in each of the last four games. Dallas is running. They've evoked Kellen Moore thoughts and ideas in this offense. So shout out to Mike McCarthy for changing up the offense. I mean, I know we don't talk a lot very highly about Mike McCarthy on this show, but that was a really smart move. And they are leaning into the passing game, and the pace has been fantastic. So if it's not QB4, you got to tell me why not, Fitz.
Yeah, Fitz, he's down at QB9, just to preface it, in the rest of season rankings, you know, according to the expert consensus. He's behind those main three. Also, Lamar, Tua, Burrow, who will go down, that just hasn't adjusted yet, Herbert, and Stroud, actually. So where would you have him?
Yeah, I mean, he's ahead of Stroud. I've already moved Burrow behind him. I've got him at QB7. In addition to the big three of Mahomes, Hurts, and Josh Allen, I've also got Lamar and Tua ranked ahead of him, which I'm going to keep that way. The one I'm debating is right now I've got Justin Herbert ahead of him, and that might not be right. This does feel like sort of a permanent change in the offensive MO for the Cowboys and for Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer. I'm here for it, man. I mean, CeeDee Lamb over his last three games, 44 targets, 34 receptions, and 500 receiving yards in his last three. Keep on slinging it, Dak. This is fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
baby.
It's awesome. I do have a second question in this game just to hit on the Panthers side. Frank Reich is taking back play calling duties for Carolina. Do we think that's going to matter, A, in the long run, but B, specifically against a defense like Dallas's, Fitz?
Probably not, but it might matter for the Panthers' most viable fantasy asset of 2023, Adam Thielen. With Frank Reich calling the plays in weeks 1-6, Thielen averaged 84.8 receiving yards per game. With offensive coordinator Thomas Brown calling the plays for the Panthers in their last three games, Thielen averaged 47.7 receiving yards. And, I mean, part of it is average depth of target. With Reich calling the plays, Thielen's A-dot was 7.8 yards. With Brown calling the plays, 4.2 yards. And hat tip to Dave Kluge of Football Guys, whose tweet pointed out the A-dot dip with Thomas Brown as the play caller.
Debra, we touched on this a bit on the Thursday show yesterday with Erickson, and you were sort of thinking that you were not really caring about the play calling change when it came to Adam Thielen, at least for this week. Is that still kind of where you stand?
Yeah, I don't care unless Frank Reich is going to go out there and be a wide receiver too for this offense, and he's going to run routes and get open. I don't think it matters. Like, the offensive line is still bad. They have no run game. Looking outside of Adam Thielen, who, I mean, look, he goes as Bryce Young goes. And I think more of the Adam Thielen dip that we're seeing has not been so much of the play calling, but the fact that Bryce Young is still not playing good football. And I don't know what the answer is. It's not the play calling. It's I don't know. It's this team is not very good. So I don't see this improving that much for Adam Thielen. I think that you see some of these, I'll say veteran wide receivers. I'm not going to use the term old. Don't be nice here. The veteran wide receivers, you see them do slow down. Like, maybe they start off hot, like yesteryear's Larry Fitzgerald, places, people like that, like where they start off hot out the gate and then they kind of taper off as the season goes along. And I think that some of it, yes, I understand the A-dot with Adam Thielen, but the other part or pieces about this, I just don't think this offense is very good. And I think they're just grasping at straws and trying to find answers for questions that don't exist right now.
It's hard to believe we're already this deep into the NFL season. We've got to make every second count. And with DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make the most out of every game day. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on any matchup. This week, we've got some stinkers on the slate with three different games having a spread in double digits on DraftKings, including the one we just talked about, plus a couple others over a touchdown. But the schedule makers made it up to us by gifting us Eagles, Chiefs, in in prime time on Monday Night Football. The Super Bowl rematch will be amazing. The Chiefs are laying 2.5 points at home. However you guys plan to bet that one, get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With code FANTASYPROS, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Guys, let's move into the other AFC North game this week. That's Steelers at Browns. Fitz, what are we doing with the Browns' skill position players now that Deshaun Watson is out for the season and we're back to Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting at least for this week?
Oh, man. And yeah, the quarterback change has driven the Vegas total in this game down to, I think it was 33 at last check. It's like a Ooh. University of Iowa football game. I'm still playing Jerome Ford. You have to figure that the Browns are going to be trying to run this offense through the running backs as much as possible, because not only is Deshaun Watson out, they've got their two starting tackles, Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills, on injured reserve. Yes, the touchdown prospects for Ford and every other Browns skill player have dimmed, but Ford has 37 carries and 6 catches over the last 2 weeks. 43 touches, more than 20 a game. And you have to figure he's going to continue to touch the ball quite a bit. I think Kareem Hunt at least stays on the flex radar for the same reasons. And then, you know, Amari Cooper, we were just talking about this with Jamar Chase, good receivers who are just totally hamstrung at quarterback. And we know that Cooper isn't on Chase's level anyway. So he goes from like a pretty dependable wide receiver 2 to like kind of a dicey wide receiver 3. And look, I really don't want to play David Njoku anymore. He actually had the best game of any pass catcher when Watson was hurt back in week 4 and Thompson Robinson had to make a start on very short notice. Njoku had 6 catches for 46 yards that day, but by no means do I want to rely on the DTR to Njoku connection going forward.
I actually asked both of you guys earlier this week for your opinions on a dynasty trade I was offered, and I ended up trading for Amari Cooper like 12 hours before this Deshaun Watson news.
This is all your fault, Worm. Just saying.
That was killer
timing. We went through the history, you and I, and
yeah,
the list of players you've traded for that have just all of a sudden come up snake bit. It's a pretty long list, man.
I traded for Deshaun Watson in that league like 3 weeks before the initial, you know, massage story broke too. So I have some killer luck in that league with trade timing, at least. D-Bro, Amari Cooper, and the rest of these skill position guys, what are you doing?
I'm with Fitz on this. Njoku falls to being a tight end too. Amari Cooper is a low end wide receiver 3. Heck, maybe even a high end wide receiver 4. Because this offense could just tank if DTR can't support anybody, and Cleveland could just turtle. Man, they could just go into their shell and could just say, "Look, we're just going to run the ball." So Jerome Ford, yeah, still an RB2, could actually be a bump for him in that they lean on the run game a little bit more. But yeah, it's not good, guys.
Worm, can I take 30 seconds to address the people whose fantasy teams are 3-7, but they're still watching this because they like consuming fantasy football shows?
Yes.
For 2024, put Amari Cooper on your draft list, because this guy is good. Yep. He's perennially underrated as it is. Mm-hmm. And now this is going to kill his numbers the rest of the way. So people are going to look at the stats next year, and they're going to rank him lower than he should be. I already know that I'm going to draft a lot of Amari Cooper in 2024.
That's a damn good call, because Deshaun Watson, when he has been under center, I mean, Cooper, I had to amend the blurbs and the primer like 4 times after the Watson news came out. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, PJ Walker's going to start. And then the Browns were like, no, it's DTR, baby. But Cooper has been so dependable, like at 90 or more receiving yards in almost every start Watson's made. I love that call, Fitz. Love it.
This game is a perfect opportunity to talk about this year's Fantasy Over-Under Challenge presented by Betting Pros. Each week, the guys will be making over-under picks for 10 different players for how many fantasy points we expect them to score. Submit your picks at fantasypros.com/challenge to play along with the guys so you don't miss out on the chance to win awesome prizes. One of this week's players is Jaylen Warren, coming off his first career 100-yard game, which D-Bro actually predicted last week on the Thursday show. So very much he gets his props for that one. His line this week is set at exactly 10 fantasy points against the Browns. Do we think he goes over again, D-Bro?
Over.
Jaylen Warren, he's been a lock for
10, 11 to 12 points. Now, if it were to happen, he gets the 60% share and not the 50% share this week. Yeah, I mean, he's a stone lock. Give me the over.
Fitz, are you also over?
Yes, I'm over, and I should probably take this time to bend the knee to D-Bro, because I said before the season that Najee Harris, the Jaylen Warren threat was being overplayed, and D-Bro was totally right about that. I was wrong, and heaven knows I've lorded the Cortland Sutton call over him ever since last year, so, you know, I've got to... Accept my defeat here.
D-Bro's really hit an oddly high number of players he planted his flag on this year. Puka, CJ Stroud, yes. Jaylen Warren. He's having a strangely good year. I don't know what's going on.
Tank Dell.
Sammy Ball game. Yeah, the list goes on.
Had a good time.
Yeah, he had a good summer. Bears at Lions is our next game here. Key question. Justin Fields is back this week. I don't know if they've said like 100% if I missed it, but he's going to be back this week. Will he ignite the Bears offense right away, and more specifically help DJ Moore start producing again, Fitz?
I'm optimistic. I mean, you never know what you're going to get from Justin Fields as a passer in any given week, but he and DJ Moore were clicking early in the season. And, you know, Moore's productivity has really been capped by Tyler Bagent, who, give him credit, he certainly didn't embarrass himself as an undrafted rookie, but clearly has a long way to go as an NFL passer. And hey, the Lions cornerbacks aren't great. It's easier to throw on Detroit than it is to run against them, so I'm kind of optimistic.
D-Bro, what do you think about Fields coming back in general, this specific matchup, and also DJ Moore?
This game is going to be fireworks, man. I think the total is trying to tell us that. Fields coming back, he's 100%. Fitz talked about it. And then the Lions have been a pass funnel defense the entire season, and I don't think that's going to change this week. Yeah, I've got DJ Moore ranked as my wide receiver 12, man. I think he goes off this week. Lions secondary can be beat. And just to throw some context out there, Fields, when he has been on the field, his passing numbers have been good, man. 11th in yards per attempt, 14th in highly accurate throw rate. I think this is going to be a fantastic game, man.
I want to throw out a player prop your guys' way. You can find these player props on Betting Pros. I'll be drawing from DraftKings Sportsbook odds, of course. And I want to hit on the Lions backfield. David Montgomery, 49.5 rushing yards, plus 500 to be the first touchdown scorer. Jahmyr Gibbs is 41.5 rushing yards, plus 600 to be the first touchdown scorer. Do we like either of those? Again, it's David Montgomery, 49.5 yards rushing, plus 500 first touchdown scorer. Gibbs is 41.5, plus 600 first touchdown scorer. Fitz?
So I really like the over on Jahmyr Gibbs receiving yardage against the Bears, who have given up the most receiving yards to running backs of any team in the league. But I've also written up the David Montgomery rushing over in this one. And I know last week that Jahmyr Gibbs played 13 more snaps than Montgomery, but it is a revenge game. And granted, the Bears' run defense has quietly been very good. They're only giving up like 3.1 yards per carry to running backs. But we've seen early in the season how the Lions like to use Montgomery to salt the game away in wins. And they are favored by 8 points against the Bears at home. So I think there are going to be, you know, more than the 12 carries that David Montgomery got last week. And yeah, like I think against his old team, he's going to go over 50.
What do you think, D-Bro?
I think I'm staying away from both the rushing lines. Fitz talked about how good the Bears' run defense has been. And I think if Montgomery gets there, it's based off of volume. But I'm more interested in the touchdown prop for Montgomery. I mean, we've seen the goal line work. And also, I don't know if y'all saw this, guys. The St. Brown brothers were interviewing Jahmyr Gibbs, and he was talking about his rushing touchdowns last week. And David Montgomery should have gone in and gotten one of those scores. But as he was about to go, he signaled for Jahmyr Gibbs. He's like, nah, go get a young blood. Go get you a touchdown. And so he called him in. So we could have seen another goal line tote for Montgomery, and he could have finished with two touchdowns last week instead of one. We know he's the goal line hammer. So give me the touchdown prop for David Montgomery here.
If you're looking to raise the stakes every Sunday and become even more invested in your fantasy football team, we've got a game changer for you. Just visit fantasypros.com/props and you can view the top recommended player prop bets for your fantasy football players. Combine your fantasy football knowledge with our prop bet cheat sheet to make informed bets and score big. If you're ready to become a prop bet pro, then head over to fantasypros.com/props today and let's get those wins. Fellas, let's move to game number four, Chargers at Packers. Is Jaden Reed the wide receiver to roster slash play in Green Bay, D-Burrow?
I wish I could tell you confidently yes. I've said this earlier in this week, and I'm like, somebody from this Green Bay passing attack is going to walk away with a really, really good game. I don't know who the heck it's going to be. My bet is on Christian Watson because he's got the downfield role. Regression is primed to hit. He's got 8 end zone targets and 0 touchdowns on them. So if I'm going to pick one of these guys, give me Watson. But good Lord, somebody's going to walk away with a good game. And I don't have a really good take on who it's going to be.
Fitz, you're the Packers guy. Do you have a take on who it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I want to like Jaden Reed, but as D-Bro has pointed out to me, because the Packers are working Dontavian Wicks into the mix. They are sort of keeping Jaden Reed snap shares every week around 50%. So I don't know. I've got them all bunched pretty tightly in this week's rankings. It's Dobbs at wide receiver 39, Watson at 40, Reed at 47. Rest of season, I still want Watson. I mean, this guy is 6'4", has 4.38 speed,
so
and
good.
We did not just imagine that he scored 8 touchdowns over a 4-game stretch last season. Like, that actually happened. I refuse to believe that someone who scored 8 touchdowns in 4 games is just going to fall off the face of the earth for the entire season. Like, I do think Watson is going to have some smash games down the stretch.
To Fitz's point, the problem in this offense has not been a Watson problem. If you go watch the film, he's running wide open the entire freaking game. It's a Love problem. It's not a Watson problem.
I want to ask about a young receiver on the other side. Quentin Johnston finally got in the end zone, his first touchdown last week. Is there any juicier for a second half surge? We often see it with talented first round rookies, but he's just been such a zero this year that it's kind of hard to envision it. But again, we did see him get a touchdown last week. Fitz, what do you think?
We almost had like a fab craze for Quentin Johnston last. He should have had an 85-yard catch and run touchdown too, because he got interfered with by a Lions cornerback who then kind of stumbled. Justin Herbert proceeds to hit Quentin Johnston right in the hands with a pass where he had nothing but, you know, open field ahead of him, and it just sailed right through his hands. And that's the thing, man. I just don't know. He's so mistake prone right now. Quentin Johnston is such a physical marvel and a mismatch for like every cornerback he goes up against, but his hands are terrible. He just can't seem to get it together. I'm not ready to say it won't ever happen for him, but I don't think it's going to happen for QJ this year.
D-Bro?
I wish I could tell you yes, I really do, but the Chargers decided to spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver they were going to utilize in a similar vein of Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Like, just have him run clear outs all freaking game. And for the life of me, I don't understand why they're doing that. It makes zero sense. It has made zero sense ever since Mike Williams has been out. But here we are. They continue to do it. So, no, I'm going to do this. I've done it before, and I'll do it again for the people. I'm raising the white flag. So QJ is going to go off for 90 receiving yards this week. I give up. I'm sorry. I give up.
Let's shift to Cardinals at Texans. Who are we more excited about in this one? CJ Stroud in the passing attack or Devin Singletary in the rushing game? Stroud's obviously been better this season, but both have pretty enticing matchups here against Arizona, D-Bro.
I'm in for Stroud, man. And I was very surprised, and I stand opposed from not consensus, but I stand opposed from how a lot of people are looking at Devin Singletary in this game. Because when I wrote it up in the primer, the Cardinals, yes, they stunk first the run over the first few weeks. If you look at what they've done since week 5, they're actually an improving run defense. Since week 5, 8th lowest missed tackles per attempt, 10th lowest yards after contact per attempt. So I think that this is an improving run defense. And I feel like we're chasing here. Everybody saw what Devin Singletary did last week versus the Bengals and said, oh, my Lord, that's crazy. Like the guy just ran forever. He played 80% of the snaps. If we rewind to the previous week before that, he did nothing with a similar snap share. So I think that we're being a little bit chasey here. I think Devin Singletary obviously is going to get all the work. Damian Pierce is not going to play this week. So I like Devin Singletary as an RB2, but I'm not going out over my skis for it because I think this is still going to be a CJ Stroud-led offense, and I'm really in for the passing attack.
What do you expect out of this one, Fitz?
Ditto on everything Debro just said about Devin Singletary. It's CJ Stroud in the passing attack. I mean, we might have just lost Joe Burrow for multiple weeks. There just aren't that many fun passing attacks left. And suddenly the Texans have what, a top six, top seven passing attack in the league. Who could have thought that back like in August or July? No one. I mean, this is it's great. So, yeah, I'm excited about Stroud and company.
Let's go to another Betting Pros over-under challenge here with Kyler Murray coming off a QB13 finish in his first week back off IR. His line this week is set at exactly 20 fantasy points against the Texans. Debro, what do you think Kyler Murray gets?
Going over, baby. He got 18 fantasy points last week and he didn't even throw a passing touchdown. What do we think he's going to do in a shootout game script and a really good matchup? Give me the over.
Fitz, where are you at on Kyler for the week? I'm not sure where he's ranked in the consensus or where you have him.
Yeah, I'm below consensus, unfortunately. I guess I got to go under. Like, I would not be shocked at all if he went over this, but I think under is the better percentage play.
It looks like he's QB. He's actually QB 14. Oh, no, that's rest of season. Sorry. He's for this week. He's QB 10 this week. So, yeah, you are a couple spots lower, Fitz, but not by that much. Man, November is such an awesome sports month. Second half of the NFL season, NBA and NHL are in full swing. College football is delivering some great rivalry matchups. And of course, Fitz and I are once again Big Ten basketball degenerates. And while we all love watching our favorite teams on television, there is nothing in the world better than being at a game live and in person. And the best way to get tickets to any of these games is on Game Time, the official ticketing app of the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Fitz, if I took Chiefs Eagles off the table of all the games in the week 11 slate, which one would you most want to be at live this week?
I think it's actually Texans Cardinals, and who could have imagined that back? It's going to be a fun game, man. I can't wait to watch this one.
Debra, what do you think?
I think it's Texans Cardinals. If I'm going to throw out a second one just to be different here, it's Lions and Bears. I think that game is going to go nuclear. I love that game.
Yeah, I think those are both great calls. Mine, of course, would have been Ravens-Bengals at the bank in prime time, of course. I am on the Game Time app right now, and tickets are still available for your guys' games, of course, not my pick. It even shows me what the cheapest options are, and I can also see from the seats right away the view without having to click through a bunch of times to understand just what it is I'm paying for. For last-minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite football team, download Game Time, download the Game Time app, create an account, and redeem code FANTASYPRO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Fellas, let's move to Titans at Jaguars. My key question here, was last week a throwaway the footage type of game from the Jags where they just toss out the film and you just kind of move on? Or are we getting even more concerned about this offense beyond just what was a tough matchup against an angry 49ers team, Pat?
Well, Travis Etienne will be fine, still an elite option at running back. I do think the Jaguars need more out of Trevor Lawrence. We were all expecting Lawrence to take another big step up this year, and he's actually taken a small step backwards. I still believe in Lawrence, though. I only have him ranked quarterback 15 this week because it appeared to be a very good week for quarterbacks, at least until Thursday night happened. But yeah, Lawrence is certainly capable of going off against the Titans this week.
Debro, any takeaways from this, you know, blowout loss that they suffered against San Francisco? Or are we still kind of viewing the Jags in the same light we were before last week?
I'm viewing them in the same light that I have been looking at them. They've been on the struggle bus, and I don't think that stops. I think that Trevor Lawrence has been quietly, I mean, Fitz is being nice about it, I think. Trevor Lawrence has been playing bad football for most of the season. I mean, you look at since week six, He's outside the top 18 quarterbacks in passer rating, highly accurate throw rate, and fantasy points per dropback. He's literally only had, three QB 1 weeks. Two of those came against the Colts. So if he's not played the Colts, he's been bad all year. So I've got him even lower. I've got him at QB 19 this week. I don't have a lot of faith. This offense has been running on the back of Travis Etienne, and I think they're going to get back to that this week. But I don't have a lot of faith in Trevor Lawrence moving forward. I don't see like what is going to change in this offense that's going to help. I know the offensive line has been a concern. Calvin Ridley, teams have been able to take him away. I just don't see what moving forward, what's going to change for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Fitz, I think D-Bro Erickson and I talked about this on the Thursday show a bit, but just how surprised are you at this Trevor Lawrence season he's having? He has only gone over 300 passing yards in a game once all year, and he has only hit even two touchdowns in a game twice all year. So is it just that ETN is getting way more work than we expected, and that's just taking away from the passing game? Or I consider myself extremely surprised by this. I was very, very bullish on Lawrence going into the season, Fitz.
I was too.
Same here. It seems like he has not been the playmaker that he was last year. We're just not seeing a lot of big time throws. Like looking at his numbers, there's not a lot off as far as like the YPA is fine. The completion percentage is fine. The touchdown percentage is a little deflated, but yeah, like just the, you know, the yards per drop back, as D-Bro mentioned. He's missing the big plays that so many of these other top passers are. How many big time throws has CJ Stroud made this year compared with Trevor Lawrence? It's not even close. So we have to see a little more hero ball from Trevor Lawrence, quite honestly.
I think it's the other part about this, Fitz, is that under pressure, he's been pretty bad. Like he's 33rd in pressure completion rate right now. So I think the other part about this is the offensive line has not been able to keep him clean, and he has not navigated muddy pockets well at all this year.
I want to throw a player prop here from DraftKings. Travis Etienne over under 67.5 rushing yards, 22.5 receiving yards. Again, it's 67.5 rushing yards, 22.5 receiving yards for Travis Etienne. D-Bro, are you going over or under on either of those?
I'm probably staying away from both. I think the rushing line is actually a very good line. If I have to take anything, I'll take the over because I think they're going to get back to feeding him the ball. But I'm worried about this offense overall.
Fitz, you bet neither of those?
Yeah, I'll echo D-Bro on that. Don't really want to play the rushing total, but I think I would be over on the yardage total for receiving yards.
Let's move to Raiders at Dolphins. What do we expect of the Dolphins' backfield looking like this week? You know, Achane coming back, Jeff Wilson. There's a lot of moving pieces here. So, Fitz, what do you kind of expect out of Miami, both in terms of the workload and the performance?
Oh, Worm, I think Devon Achane is going to lead the way. The kid is special. I mean, he's not going to average 12 yards per carry the rest of the season, unfortunately, but he is far and away the best running back the Dolphins have. And I would not be surprised if we saw less of Raheem Mostert than everyone is expecting. Like, even with Achane out, Mostert has averaged just over 11 carries a game since week 7 with just one catch over that stretch. And Mostert has fumbled 4 times in his last 6 games. He's only lost one of those fumbles, but we are talking about a dude who's put the ball on the ground 4 times in his last 77 touches. That's like a 5% fumble rate, which is not good. So it wouldn't be surprising if it was Achane in the lead and then Mostert and Jeff Wilson kind of like dicing up whatever's left over.
D-Bro, what kind of split are you looking at?
I'm looking at Devon Achane as RB11 in my ranks for the week, if that tells anybody anything.
Too low. Too low.
I don't disagree with you, Fitz. I was going to ask you, my first question was going to be, where do you have him ranked? Because I want to be in line with consensus because you have nailed everything with Achane the entire season.
RB7.
All right. I'm bumping him up. I'm putting him at RB7 right behind Jahmyr Gibbs, man. Telling you
guys
you right
are
now,
both higher than consensus for the record.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, in half PPR, he's at RB12. I don't know if that's just some hesitation with the injury or not, because obviously he's way surpassed that in every game he's played fully healthy this season.
The thing I want to throw out here, too, is that how many times do we see running backs when they come back from injury? It's not, the narrative is always, we're going to ease them back in. They always usually come back to full workloads. This was his backfield, and he's done nothing to lose it. And Fitz laid this out perfectly. If anything, Raheem Mostert has done all the things when he's been out to lose the backfield. So Achane could walk back in, and this could be even more of his backfield than it was when he left.
If you guys need new tires for your car, Discount Tire is your go-to. They have exceptional service, and you get a 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. They have this really cool feature called Treadwell, which is an online tire buying guide that gives you transparency on tire performance, as well as personalized recommendations based on your location and driving habits. Discount Tire is also the largest independent tire retailer in the country, so it has the biggest selection of tires and wheels. And here's a pro tip from the experts at Discount Tire. You can prevent wear and boost gas mileage by keeping your tires properly inflated. Tire pressure supports the weight of your vehicle and is important to check for safety. So if it's been over a month since you last checked your tire pressure, stop by one of their local stores for a free tire safety and air pressure check. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of. And let's move to game number 8, Giants at Commanders. This is an ugly one. Considering how much defensive attention he gets and the unlikelihood of the Giants scoring many, if any, touchdowns, is Saquon Barkley sneakily no longer a must-start running back, Pat?
Still a must-start. He's averaging 22 carries and almost 3 catches a game since he came back from injury 5 games ago. Yes, he's a running back 2 and not a running back 1, but he's absolutely a must-start.
Debra, where do you have him ranked both this week and moving forward?
This week I've got him ranked at he's at RB 11 for me right now, but I have bounced. He's been everywhere between mid RB 2 to low end RB 1. I mean, Fitz hit it perfectly. The volume is there. The matchup is not great. Like, the Giants should be able to move the ball through the air versus the Commanders this week. So you're going to see a better output, and that's going to mean scoring opportunities for Saquon. Rest of season, I've got Saquon at RB 20. So I think that he's an RB 2. I think even if you're just looking at the landscape for the running back position right now, who else are you starting over him that you're like, okay, he's going to get more volume, he's going to produce better? I'm still starting Saquon weekly.
I want to ask you guys quickly, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask this question, but on Sam Howell, because you guys are roughly in line with consensus. He's QB 15 this week. I think you guys are one or two spots higher compared to ECR. I'm not sure why he's not higher than that. If you look at his fit, where he's finished at the position going back several weeks, QB 5, QB 7, QB 23, QB 1, QB 10, QB 4. So 5 of the last 6 weeks, he's been well ahead of that. And the Giants are not some crazy good defense or anything. So why is he not a little higher in the rankings, do you think, Fitz?
Because people make the mistake of trying to project game script, and they're imagining the Commanders having this massive lead over the Giants and taking their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. His yardage total is too low on DraftKings. It was like 249.5. This is a dude who's leading the league in attempts, completions, and passing yardage, and the Giants' pass defense isn't good. So, like, that's all you need to know. Like, start Sam Howell. I'm not saying Sam Howell is great, but, like, the volume is there every week. Anyone who thinks he's not throwing it at least, like, 30, 35 times this week is just kidding themselves.
Yeah, I will say, you know, in the defense of the people who are ranking him a little bit lower, that one game in that stretch that I just mentioned where he wasn't a top 10 quarterback was the game against the Giants, but he didn't throw for any touchdowns in that one. And I would think we would expect that to not be the case. If they're going to be up by a lot, I would think he would get one or two touchdowns in there. Debro, any thoughts on Howell?
I mean, I've got him at QB 14, but it's not because I don't like Sam Howell. It's because there's so many quarterbacks in really good freaking spots this week. And it just comes down to there's only 12 guys I can rank inside the top 12. And I like the game script for Tua a little bit more. I think Jared Goff, again, going up against a defense where you're going to have to throw, you're not going to be able to run. There's just quarterbacks that I like in that same range that you could make a case for a lot of different players, anywhere from QB 7 to QB 14 right now.
Let's move to the late afternoon slate here. Buccaneers at 49ers. My question is on a guy that we haven't really talked that much about on the show because he's just been an obvious must start every week. Brandon Ayuk, who is ranked as a top 15 wide receiver basically every single week, but he hasn't had more than 5 catches in a game since week 4. He's only topped 80 yards once in that stretch, and last week was his first touchdown catch since week 1. So should we be lowering expectations despite the fact that he looks awesome and every time they throw the ball to him, like, his efficiency numbers are great, but he's not actually producing that much given the relative lack of volume. So are we a little too aggressive on him ranking each and every week, Fitz?
Yeah, this is a great topic, Worm, and this was something I was thinking about when I was putting my rankings together this week. Yes, probably we are over-ranking him. The thing is, Ayuk is really, really good and could probably be a bigger star on some other team, but the 49ers have such crazy skill position talent, and Kyle Shanahan is sort of like the good version of Arthur Smith. Like, Shanny's play calling spreads the ball around in unpredictable ways. But at least with Shanny, the ball is going to guys like McCaffrey and Debo and Ayuk and Kittle. Arthur Smith is spreading it around to Jonnu Smith and Kadarius Hodge. And look, the Falcons are on bye, and I'm still finding time to trash Arthur Smith. That's how much the guy's tilted me.
You get the next 30 minutes to do that, Fitz. It's all you.
But yes, Worm, we probably should lower expectations for Ayuk because there hasn't been enough target volume to support his candidacy for wide receiver 1 status. That said, he could absolutely crush the Buccaneers this week. Like that, he could be a Yahtzee play in week 11, no question.
Debra, where are you at on Ayuk?
I've got him at wide receiver 10 this week. I wrote it up in the primer. The biggest problem for Ayuk is that he has pretty much no red zone role. So he's going to have to get there via deep passing. But this is one of the matchups where he can do that. Again, I covered all this. The coverage data is massive for Brandon Ayuk. You look at Tampa Bay has allowed the 6th most deep passing yards, 3rd most deep passing touchdowns. So all of this in the wheel basket for Ayuk, as well as over the last 3 games, 10th highest rate, 57% of their snaps in single high. Versus single high, Brandon Ayuk just decimates it, man. 28% target share, 46% air yard share. So I think Brandon Ayuk is going to crush them this week. So you can't talk me off the ledge this week, but I understand tempering expectations moving forward.
Yeah, and obviously it's not like a knock on Ayuk the player. We all think he's an absolute stud, and obviously it's a great offense.
The worm is that 49ers have crushed opponents. Like, if they didn't just absolutely boat race the Jaguars and they could have pushed back at all last week, Ayuk could have had a bigger game. I think that's something that's getting lost in the sauce is the fact that the 49ers are just beating the pants off of everybody. And if we had more competitive games back and forth, Ayuk's numbers would probably look a lot different as well.
I've got another player prop to throw out from Betting Pros. Again, this is DraftKings Sportsbook odds. Mike Evans, over under 55.5 receiving yards in this one, Debro.
I think this is a big Chris Godwin week. I think the line is spot on. I'll take the over just because I think Tampa Bay is going to have to throw the ball, but I would be staying away if I had to bet it.
Fitz, over or under 55.5 receiving yards for Mike Evans?
It's a good line.
I agree with Debra on this. It is a good line. I'm going to go over just because he's Mike Evans and I don't fear the 49ers cornerbacks. The issue is whether we are going to see Baker Mayfield get enough time against the 49ers pass rush for Mike Evans to run those higher average depth of target routes, and haul in some of these long throws. But the dude's so good, you know, he's going to toast a cornerback on the 49ers at least once or twice in this game.
Can we talk about so we kind of hit on the hits from the offseason? I will own the L. It was a big miss. I was off of Mike Evans the entire offseason.
Same.
He has absolutely put me in a body bag with that. So kudos to Mike Evans. He has not fallen off. He's been fantastic this year.
Yeah, I was surprised. I don't do rankings, but I was also quite surprised by that. I was very much in line with you guys.
Props to Baker Mayfield for supporting him also.
Seriously?
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to Jets at Bills. And guys, this one was a really easy key question to come up with. Josh Allen struggles against the Jets historically, including in their first matchup this season, which everybody watched in prime time in week 1. So what is our concern level for this Bills offense, both in this matchup and considering the recent, the turnover struggles? Also, the offensive coordinator change to Joe Brady. There's all these different factors. Main one for me is just what Josh Allen typically does against his defense. But taking all that into account, Debro, what kind of concern do we have going into this matchup?
A lot. I'm not going to say that I did it because I considered at one point looking at ranks this week of bumping down Josh Allen to like a low end QB one because of the matchup, because of this offense. That's something that I think it's been lost a little bit this year is this offense is nothing new. This offense has been dysfunctional the entire year, from not using Dalton Kincaid to them struggling as an offense. Like they seem like, I mean, really like a soldier without a cause. Like they don't have an identity. It's we trying to be a running team with Latavius Murray. You really think that's a good idea? They're not running at a high pace. They're trying to pass the ball, but then they're forcing it. Like, it feels like it's been 100% struggle bus for the entire season. I know the numbers have been good, but if you've watched any Bills game, where have you been like, oh man, they're cooking. Josh Allen is crushing. Like, it's wheels up. It's not. Everything's been a struggle. It's been so back and forth. Like, they'll have a hot, like, good two drives where Gabe Davis comes out with a deep reception or something like that. And then they go into turtle mode for the next three drives. So I've got a lot of concern. I think Joe Brady is an upgrade over Ken Dorsey. I think they're going to do some smarter things. And I'm very curious what we're going to see out of James Cook usage moving forward. Are they going to get away with this whole like Latavius Murray stuff that we've been seeing and things like that?
Yeah.
And just put the ball in one of their best playmakers' hands and say, look, you know, go be special.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Fitz, I want to get your opinion both on the matchup specifically with the Jets and also on the change to Joe Brady.
Everything DeBro said about the Bills offense is correct, but I'm still sort of taking the leap of faith that I've got Josh Allen at QB3 this week. Okay. Like, I think he can still have a good fantasy day by making it work with Dalton Kincaid and James Cook, because we know the Jets are going to throw blankets over the wide receivers. That's just what they do. So a lot of Kincaid, a lot of Cook, and some running for Josh Allen, of course. And DeBro was right. Like, Cook is the guy whose usage I cannot wait to see under Joe Brady, because on one hand, Joe Brady spent a lot of time preaching to the media the other day about the evils of turnovers, which almost seemed like it was a shot across James Cook's bow as far as how much he's put it on the ground this year. But on the other hand, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a freaking superstar at LSU with Joe Brady mm-hmm. calling the plays. And then Clyde Edwards came to the NFL and joined the Chiefs, this very high-powered offense, and we learned that CEH just wasn't that good. And if Joe Brady could make CEH look like a star, what might he be able to do with a more talented back in James Cook?
That's a great call.
In a matchup where you can run the freaking ball against the Jets too. That does not need to get lost here. The Jets run defense has not been good. Their secondary has. Their run defense has not been good.
So let's hit one last Betting Pros over-under challenge here with James Cook, who is on the slate this week, coming off a weird game where he was in the doghouse for fumbling part of the time, as we mentioned, but he looked explosive when actually getting touches. Obviously, the Joe Brady change now. His line this week is exactly 11 fantasy points. Do we think he goes over or under that against the Jets, Fitz?
God, I don't know how I can say under after what I just said, but it does seem like that's too high, though. Like, that's a higher total than I would have expected. So I have to say under.
DeBro, 11 fantasy points in half PPR, over or under for James
Cook?
I'll
do it for you, Fitz. I'm going over. I'm taking the over. I've got James Cook as my RB17. I'm going over. I'm going to say the look. And to put respect for James Cook, those are the first two fumbles the entire season for James Cook. So I think they're gonna move the offense more in his direction. Give me the over.
Let's go to Seahawks at Rams. Early season darling Puka Nacua, DeBro's favorite, had 6 or fewer fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games prior to the week 10 bye for the Rams. Do we think he bounces back against Seattle, DeBro, or is this pattern something we should maybe be a little bit worried about?
Is Matthew Stafford playing this week?
I assume that's a rhetorical question.
No, I was asking you to answer it for me just to be funny.
Sorry.
Puka Nacua is bouncing back, baby. The juice is still good. Let's get the squeeze on it. Like, I'm here for it, man. Like, everybody talking about, like, oh, well, he's falling off. It's just people trying to confirm their priors. It's people trying to put salt in the wound. It's people that did not see him coming out and saying he's going to be great. The quarterback play has been terrible the last few weeks. What did you expect? Like, Cooper Kupp hasn't done anything either, okay? So use that same energy, okay? Use that same energy for Cooper Kupp, too. Puka Nacua is, he's bouncing back. Matthew Stafford's playing this week. He's bouncing back.
I don't have any energy. I'm just asking questions here, D-Bro.
This is not for you, Warren. That's for everybody out there.
I'm teeing you up. All right, Fitz, what do you think about Puka this week?
Yeah, I just defer to D-Bro on all things Puka. So if D-Bro says he's going off, then he's going off. We can move on.
I do have another player prop here, D-Bro, and it is Cooper Kupp over under 81.5 receiving yards. Ooh. What do we think? Pretty high number.
I think it's a high number, but I'm going to take the over. I think this Rams offense with Stafford, assuming Stafford is healthy and he's been getting full practices in, I think this Rams offense looks like what the Rams offense looked to start the year. I'll just give me the over.
Fitz, 81.5 receiving yards for Cooper Kupp.
A little bit under here. He could smash it, but I'm going to say he finishes in the 60s or 70s, and Puka is a big day, too.
Let's get to Sunday Night Football, Vikings at Broncos. It's the worst primetime game of the week, but it's actually sneakily more fun than it might have looked a couple of weeks ago. So I want to ask you guys, two of the bigger storylines from the last couple of weeks are Denver's rejuvenated defense and, of course, Josh Dobbs, who's just been the Cinderella, you know, story of the year. Who wins out this week, Josh Dobbs or this defense that's playing at a higher level now, Fitz?
Cinderella Dobbs, and I'll feel even more confident about that if we learn that Justin Jefferson is going to be back from his hamstring injury. And by the way, Denver's rejuvenated defense did not look that rejuvenated against the run with the Bills the other night, because James Cook just completely trampled them, 109 yards and 12 carries. So, it will be a fun game. I actually think the Vikings are going to win this one in Denver.
D-Bro, how do you see this one playing out?
I think Ty Chandler's going to have a day. I have been RB18 right now, and that might feel like it's a little bit too low because you can run all over Denver. I think Josh Dobbs keeps the Cinderella story going, both with his legs and Denver. Even if we want to talk about the cornerbacks are playing much better, they still can't stop any tight ends. So assuming TJ Hockenson, we just saw him go full Travis Kelce mode. If he's healthy enough to play, he's going to go off again this week.
Well, D-Bro stepped on my second question here, asking how aggressively we're going to be ranking tight ends.
That was a lead-in. Come on.
All right, we'll call it a tease. Well, you're a pro. how aggressively are we ranking Ty Chandler both this week, but really rest of season? And before you guys answer, we do have a poll on this one as well from one of our shows earlier in the week. The poll, you can find these on Spotify and vote in them each and every week. And on most of our shows, producer John puts these up. Ty Chandler, likely starting against Denver's league worst run defense, is his consensus ranking of running back 26, too high, too low, or just right? So before I give you the results, D-Bro, what do you think? I based on what it's you said, low. Obviously you think it's too low.
It's too low.
Fitz, is RB26 too high, too low, or just right?
It's too low, and I think people will recognize that.
So the most common vote is just right. That got 44% of the vote. Too low is next highest at 38%. Too high, just 17%. So most people think it's just right or too low. That's over 80% of the vote is one of those two options. So back to the original question, D-Bro, since you teased us, I'll go with you first. How aggressively are we ranking Ty Chandler rest of season?
I've got him at RB36 right now, and that's one spot ahead of Alexander Mattison. I don't know where ECR sits on him, but I think you can make a case for him anywhere between RB 26 to 36 right now.
Fitz, what do you think? I'll pull up rest of season ECR while you give your take.
Well, see, I'm lower. I've got him RB 45 rest of season. I've got him inside my top 20 for this week, but I just think that it's back to Chandler being a committee back once Madison clears concussion protocol.
Who do you think the rest of the season guy is for the rest of the season, though, Fitz? Do you think, like, mind's eye, who leads them in carries the rest of the season? Is it Chandler or Madison? I think it's Chandler pretty, like, by a decent amount. If he blows out this week, I think he could take over the lead, but maybe that's where I'm wrong here.
Maybe if he blows up, I mean, if I had to put money on it, I'd probably bet Madison, to be honest with you.
Okay.
He is still down at RB 54 rest of season. I think part of that is still catching up to
the
recent developments. I don't think that's fully, although he has jumped 16 spots in the last week. So he's moved up, quite a bit, but I think that will probably continue to move up more. I don't know if it will get all the way to the, the 20s, right? But I don't think it's going to stay in the 50s.
When Madison gets ruled out this week, probably for the concussion, I think that it's going to get move up a little bit more too. Yeah,
I think you're probably right. Okay, let's wrap up with Monday Night Football, the amazing game of the week, Eagles at Chiefs. This is another super fun, just start everybody you can game, right? There's no cause for concern for any of these guys.
Well, I mean, I don't want to start any Eagles tight end with Dallas Goedert out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not starting Jack Stoll. And I don't really want to start any Chiefs wide receiver not named Rashee Rice. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, come one, come all.
All right. So since that's, you know, right, we're starting all these guys anyway. Instead of a main question, let's just have a little fun. We'll wrap up the show with one bold prediction about this awesome primetime game. Fitz, I'll start with you.
Oh, bold prediction. It's meet the parents night for Travis Kelce. Apparently, Kelce's parents and Taylor Swift's parents are going to meet for the first time.
Oh,
and Kelce just goes off whenever Swift is in attendance. So I'm going to say that he goes for 150 yards and two touchdowns against the Eagles.
Nice. Love it. Debra.
I didn't know we were having a family meeting at this game. Thank you, Fitz, for letting me know. I need that in my life. I'll go bold here in versus what consensus thinks about this run defense. I'm going to say Isaiah Pacheco runs for a buck 50 and gets two touchdowns this week. If you look at what the Eagles run defense has done over the last few weeks since week five, they've taken a big step back. They're allowing the sixth highest explosive run rate, their fifth highest in missed tackles per attempt. So this is a sneaky game for Isaiah Pacheco to go off.
I'm going to throw out a bold prediction as well. I'm going to say, and this doesn't, it's not going to sound bold because he's ranked as QB1 this week, but I'm going to say that Mahomes actually does finish as QB1 this week, which he's only done once this season. And if you go back the last 6 weeks, he's actually, well, six games, because one of these was a bye, but the last 7 weeks, six games, he's only been over 20 fantasy points once out of that time. It was this huge game against the Chargers. So I'm going to say this is another huge blow up spot. Again, Super Bowl rematch. He wants to come out strong. He wants to let his buddy Travis Kelce have a big day. I think he actually does finish QB1 for just the second time this season. Guys, great show. We will wrap it up there. For Fitz and Debro, I am Ryan Warmly. Thank you everybody so much for tuning in. Good luck this week, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.